and say that there is neither resurrection nor judgment, that man is the firstborn of Satan. And what I'm saying is, all right, the apostles, when they say, like when John says, who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus the Christ, that doesn't mean that that's the only lie. No more than it means that he is Antichrist that denies, that's the only way, Antichrist is defined by those who pervert the doctrine of Christ. Those who came out from the original church, so that makes, like the Catholic Church is not the original church. The Catholic Church sprang from the Apostolic Church. And it is an abomination and a falsehood. And so are the other children of that. Everything that came out of that Catholic Church, such as the Protestantism and all that stuff, all springs out of abomination. They are all coming out of what was not of us. Now, people could be saved out of that. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is those organizations are wicked and evil in their nature and contrary. And they do more to hurt men than to help them. They do more to block the way to salvation than to make the way clear. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Now the second clause is added by all the texts. Oh, okay. So many texts have this clause. Some texts don't have this clause. But he did acknowledge that the Son hath the Father also. Okay. Don't deny either one. Acknowledge them both. Let that therefore abide in you. Well, some people deny the Son. They say, oh, the Father and the Son are one and the same. Again, you have to acknowledge that there is a Son of God. You can't say, well, like, the Father is the Son. Then you're denying the Son. But it says the Scripture, you know, I have an article on my, I'm not going to go into this discussion now. On my website, Oracles, O-R-A-C-L-E-S, of God, all one word, no spaces, .org, oraclesofgod.org. If you go, there's a, on the left-hand side, there is a doctrinal section. I forgot what I even called it. I can't tell you off the top of my head, but there's the audio Bible studies, and then there's also something that says doctrine or some writings, things I've done. And in there you will find an article on the nature of Jesus Christ and of God. And I'll explore all those ideas. I mean, I don't necessarily exhaust the subject, but I kind of give a good survey of the general, of some general things. Because again, I don't think these the ways in which they try to explain God in a few words, in a few, you know, in 10 words or less, it bugs me, because it's like, how can you contain a God in 10 words or less who is not contained in the whole universe? So, continuing in verse 24. You know, let that which you have heard from the beginning, I mean, the gospel that they'd heard from the beginning, and the gospel that I'm trying to preach is supposed to be a return to that. That's what I want it to be. Away from, and it's definitely distinct from the thing that's being preached these days. And they think that, they think they've got the true gospel. And we'll see in the end who God testifies of and whose salvation stands strong. Okay, verse 25. This is the promise that he that hath promised us, I'm sorry, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written to you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. This is the promise, eternal life. It's not just alone. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 5, the last verse, he says, let grace reign, well, even as sin hath reigned unto death, so shall grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Eternal life is not the commandment that God gives us. The promise is this promise of eternal life. It comes from his calling and election. And in that calling and election, he causes works to happen. One of the first works that happens is faith. Faith is a work. Not a work of the law. See, people confuse the works of the law with the works of that God has ordained that we have to walk in. Not that I do it of myself. Having begun in the spirit, shall I be made perfect by the flesh? I'm alluding to Galatians. Meaning, is it by my own... Did I started off in the spirit, am I going to perfect myself by my own deeds? No. By the Spirit, I begun in faith, and I will add to my faith by the Spirit of God. I will attain eternal life by the works which are obtained through the Spirit of God and by the will of God in Christ Jesus. Not according to I'm going to do my best, because if I do that, I'm going to fail. And I'm going to almost offend God because he's offering these things by promise as opposed to please me. Now, I know I have to know how I ought to walk and to please God. I'm referring to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Yeah, 4. You know, we ought to know how to possess our vessels in sanctification. How we ought to walk and please God. We want to please God. But the way we please God is by receiving the gifts of God through faith, by the grace of God. And not by our own means, because our own means would be we will fail. We will bring to him righteousness which is filthy, which is as a filthy rag. And eternal life is the ultimate thing of that. That's what I want. I want the kind of faith that's going to take me to life eternal. And in that commandment, you know, it says the grace of God, which brings salvation, which is ultimately eternal life, teaches us certain things. To deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. To walk soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. That's what grace teaches us. The grace that leads to life. We have to have life in us even now. We can't be dead while we live and say there's life in us. We must live as he lived. If we walk in sin, we're dead already. There is no eternal life in us. But if we walk in righteousness, then that is the manifestation of the eternal life yet to come. This is the way the apostles taught. This is how they speak.